Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we're talking about learning to deal with our emotions as we face life's hardships and challenges so that we can overcome in the midst of the challenges and the hardships of life. Now, we're basically just laying a foundation this week. We're going to be on this for several weeks here because I've got a lot to say. But let me just pick up pretty much where we left off yesterday, since it's Friday already. We've been examining an incident in the life of Paul, where he was on board a ship being taken as a prisoner to Rome. The ship encountered a horrific storm, went down, but everybody on board the ship survived and made it to an island, the modern-day island of Malta. It's called Melita in the scripture. And in this incident, we see a number of the points that we've been making the past couple of weeks about learning to see things the way they really are so that you can walk in victory even in really difficult circumstances. And in this situation, Paul has to deal with emotions. An angel appeared to him before the ship went down, and the first words were, "Fear not, fear not." Well, that tells us there were things in his situation that would reasonably make him feel afraid. The angel didn't tell him, "Pretend you're not afraid." The angel didn't say, don't refuse. Well, let me say it this way. The angel didn't say to him, "Just will your fear away." No, he gave him additional information. He gave him the word of God. He said, "God says you're going to survive this shipwreck." He countered the natural emotion of the moment with God's word. See, that's really how we deal with our emotions. And we're going to talk about how that plays out in specific emotions over the next couple weeks. But we said Paul faced many challenges as he preached the gospel. Physical challenges from shipwrecks and stonings and beatings, slander from enemies. He carried the weight of the churches that he founded. He had emotions to deal with. And he talked about being sorrowful yet rejoicing. When I feel sorrow, I rejoice. Now, rejoicing is not an emotion. It is an action, a response to your situation. Yesterday, we looked at how he talked about in Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope. And then in Romans 5, rejoicing in hope. And the word rejoice in Romans 5 is the word boast. It's translated rejoice, but it's actually boast. Paul talked about boasting about God in the face of stressful circumstances, in the face of negative emotions. He talked about who God is and what God has done, is doing, and will do. Now, let's finish up today this little segment by looking at one more example of how this played out in Paul's life. I'm not going to read it. I know you're familiar with it. Let me summarize it. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and his missionary partner, Silas, were beaten in the town of Philippi and imprisoned for casting a devil out of a slave girl. She brought her masters much money by telling fortunes through the devil's power. Well, Paul cast the devil out of her, taking away her ability to tell fortunes and her master's ability to make money. They were furious, and they turned Paul and Silas over to city officials for causing trouble. Well, they were beaten and locked up in the deepest part of the Philippian jail. But we're told in Acts chapter 16, this is verses 16 through 26, at midnight, in stocks, their feet in stocks, in the deepest part of the prison, Paul and Silas prayed and praised God. In other words, Paul took his own advice. When he talked about being sorrowful yet rejoicing, when he talked about rejoicing in hope, when he talked about rejoicing or boasting in hope of seeing the glory of God in my situation, he was taking his own advice. in this situation. Here he is in jail. What has he done wrong? He's done the work of God. He set a captive free. And for that, he ends up in jail. But as you read the passage, you don't see a single hint of Paul going, oh man, God, why did you let this happen after all I've done for you? Maybe I've displeased him somehow. What's he trying to tell me? Is he trying to show me something? After all I've done in his service, how could he let this happen? There's no hint of Silas looking at Paul and saying, Paul, this is all your stupid fault. You never should have cast that devil out of that gal. Nobody asked you to do it. There's no hint of Paul looking at Silas and saying, well, I think it was your stupid idea to come to this city in the first place. In other words, these are the kind of reactions we have when our emotions are stimulated, and when a faulty view of reality is dictating our actions. Isn't that the truth? That's how we act. That's what we do. But there's no hint of that from these guys. Why? Well, they saw reality as it truly is. They knew how to rejoice in hope. They knew how to feel sorrow, yet rejoice. They knew how to boast about the glory of God. See, these men understood the nature of life in a sin-cursed earth, and they responded to God and their circumstances based on that. Praise, they praised God. Now, we think of praise to God as what we do on Sundays when they're playing our favorite worship song and we all feel good. But praise is not an emotional response to your situation. It's the appropriate response. It's always appropriate to praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. That's what Psalm 107 verse 21 says. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. I don't care how you feel. I don't care what's going on in your life. It's appropriate to praise God for who he is and for what he has done, is doing, and will do. Now, both of these men, Paul and Silas, had hope of God's help in their situation. That hope came from God's word, and it's numerous examples of God helping people in their time of trouble. See, they had the written word, which showed it. If we had the time, we could do a whole week of giving examples of God delivering people from dire circumstances. So they had hope. They praised God. They knew Psalm 119, verse 62. Do you know what it says? I'll read it to you. It says, at midnight, I will rise to give thee thanks because of thy righteous judgments. The Psalms say, praise God at midnight. Now, what does that mean? Well, literally at midnight, all day, all night, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, it's always appropriate to praise the Lord for his righteous judgments, for who he is, for what he has done, is doing, and will do. Paul and Silas also knew Psalm 50, verse 23, which says, whoso offers praise glorifies me, and he prepares the way so that I may show him the salvation of God. They knew that it's always appropriate to praise the Lord. They knew that at midnight you praise God. In the darkest hour of your life, you praise God. Why? It's appropriate to praise him for who he is. Yeah, but look at this mess. He's not behind it. He didn't do it. And he sees a way to get you through it until he gets you out of it. He even sees a way to bring genuine good out of it if you will acknowledge him. Psalm 50 says, 50 verse 23 says, whoso offers praise glorifies God. God gets glory. And it prepares the way for him to show you his salvation. Well, you know what happened back in Philippi, Acts 16. A mighty earthquake took place, shook the whole prison. The chains fell off of everybody. Paul and Silas were gloriously set free. The jailer of the Philippian jailer fell at their feet and asked, how can I be saved from my sins? Tradition tells us that that man became the pastor of the church that Paul established at Philippi. He went from a jailer to a pastor. God brought genuine good out of genuine bad in this situation. Why were they in jail? That's life in a sin-cursed earth. Sinful men made wicked choices and came against the people of God. But it's not bigger than God. God got them through till he got them out, and he caused it to serve his purposes. Now, back to Acts chapter 27. While they were still on shipboard, Paul's got the message from the angel. Everybody's going to survive. He has shared with the crew members, be of good cheer. Take courage. Be strengthened inwardly with this information. And then he tells them all, we're going to eat a meal. We're going to eat a meal. They hadn't eaten in days because of all that was going on. I'm sure a lot of them were seasick. But he gives, they sit down and eat, and Paul gives thanks at the meal. Now, let me read verse 35. And when he had thus spoken, Paul took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they all also took some meat. Here's the raging storm. They haven't eaten in days because of the storm. Some of them are seasick. They're throwing stuff off the ship to try to keep it afloat as long as they can. And Paul tells them, God says we're going to survive. Now let's eat a meal to regain our physical strength and get ready to go, boys. And he gave thanks. Now, trust me, that was not a religious ritual there. Let's say grace. No, he put his hands in the air and said, Almighty God, maker of heaven and earth, I thank you that you are bigger than what's coming against us, and you have promised us that we'll survive. So we're going to thank you and praise you for it. He was expressing faith in what God promised to do for him. See, he told those men, he said, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe that it shall be even as it was told me this night. God will get us through this. Now, we haven't said all that we need to say about emotions that arise as we face life's trials, but consider these thoughts quickly as we close. It isn't wrong to feel bad when you're facing something bad. Such feelings are appropriate emotional responses to the stimulus being presented. But you must always remember there's more facts to the situation than what you can see. And you cannot let what you see and how you feel about what you see paint your picture of reality, nor can you let it determine what you do or how you respond in your situation. Bring additional information from God's word into your situation. Cheer yourself with God's word. Strengthen yourself with God's word. Change your perspective, your view of reality, and begin to rejoice in hope or boast about God. Now, this is not a gimmick. It comes out of your perception of reality. You have to learn to see reality as it truly is. This is not from God. This is not bigger than God. He will get me through until he gets me out. Now, we have a whole lot more to talk about over these next couple weeks. More next.
You've been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.